Phillies look forward to avoiding a sweep in Philadelphia at the hands of the LA Dodgers before they go out on a 7-game road trip, a very important one as we discuss on this edition of Phillies Talk Podcast. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Here's this edition. Hit like and subscribe to the show, won't you? Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Phillies Talk Podcast. It's the long-running independent show talking all about the Philadelphia Phillies, and I'm joined by my good co-host and good friend, Mr.
Hello,
Matt Beasley.
Everyone.
I'm good. Except for that feedback, I'm great, Rich.
The live stream on YouTube just popped up on my screen and probably heard the feedback there, but good afternoon, and what a lovely afternoon it is for baseball. It's, as Charlie Manuel would call it, hitting season out there.
It's got a hot weekend. It's a preview of the summer up in the low 90s. It's a little bit of humidity in the air. And this afternoon, I'm looking at my window now. This afternoon is supposed to be a chance as the day goes along of some thunderstorms. So it has been a hot weekend here.
Yeah, I was thinking of going up to the ballpark, but I've been up to a few games on a Sunday afternoon with that threat of thunderstorms. And it's generally not a good day when those thunderstorms roll into Citizens Bank Park. So I thought I would just sit this one out. And the Phillies are in danger of getting swept by the LA Dodgers. We saw another one slip away from them last night. They had a lead 4-1 during a lot of the game and just sort of turned it over to the Dodgers. Any thoughts about last night's loss?
They're about to get underway here, and last night was another discouraging loss. You know, one run, you're talking about over the last they've lost 4 out of 5 now, 5 out of 6 between that loss last Sunday to the Dodgers when they were down to one strike away from sweeping in Los Angeles. Instead, they clutched defeat from the jaws of victory, and that was the start of five out. That win would have put them over 500 if they had been able to finish it off. And instead, now they've, like I said, lost that one, came home. Tough series against the Padres and Dodgers at home, but you figure, you know, you're home. They had some good pitching lined up, and instead, the only win that they have out of the last 6 games is a fantastic start by Zach Wheeler. So, I don't know. It's hard to know what to say about this team at this point, Rich. If it's not one thing, it's another. You know, if they hit, it's 50-50 whether the bullpen's going to hold up that lead. If the pitchers give them a good start for the most part, then the bats don't come through. This is probably as frustrating a Phillies team as I've seen in the last decade. Because there were many teams over the last decade where I just didn't go in with any expectations. This team, I came in with expectations, and 18-22, 4 games under 500. This is 8 games out already in mid to late May. This is not my expectation.
Yeah, and as you said, a lot of red ink with this homestand. The Phillies just can't seem to get together and enjoy the home stands for the most part. Their home record is 10-13 so far in this year. As you said, 18-22 overall, 8-9 on the road, in danger of being swept this afternoon. And last night was one of those nights where it was weird. I didn't need a crystal ball to figure it out, but I was calling things that were going to happen in this game as it were happening. Aaron Nola going over 5 innings. He generally is good to be taken out at that time. I thought maybe they should take him out after 5 innings, go with something different. They left him in the 6th. He got hit around a little bit. And then the bullpen comes in and drops the game on him always. It's just a recurring theme this year so far with him. As you said, the Phillies sometimes don't support him. Last night they did, but then the bullpen comes in and loses the game. A couple other key plays happened as well. Don't know that that would have swayed the game one way or another, but interestingly enough, I listened to the post-game show which came on pretty late with Ricky Ricardo on 94.1 WIP. And he lamented against the bullpen as well. He's saying that that is the primary problem of the Phillies so far, as we're talking about, you know, a quarter into the season just about, next weekend being Memorial Day. But if the Phillies don't do anything about this bullpen, Matt, I don't think they're going to go very far. I'd say they're going to be under 500 this year if they stick with this bullpen.
I don't, you know, they don't have much choice, you know, Rich. I mean, what are you going to do with this bullpen? They made big signings in the offseason again, you know, brought in veterans again. It's just not working out. I mean, it seems like no matter what mix they put in there the last, you know, 3-4 years, when it, you know, they were starting to move into this, what we thought was going to be a rebirth of contention, starting with the signing of Bryce Harper, and then, you know, JT Realmuto, and bringing in Segura, and then, you know, adding Zach Wheeler, and this year adding, you know, Castellanos and Zach and Kyle Schwarber. Brad Hand, Corey Knebel, you know, in this whole stretch of building towards what we thought was going to be contention, the bullpen mix just it falls apart no matter who they bring in, no matter who they use. Sir Anthony Dominguez came back from injury. He was pitching great. I was singing his praises in another podcast appearance that I made earlier this week as the, like, one arm that looked like you could depend on, rely on in the bullpen, possibly potential that he could take over the closer role at some point. And then he's the one who last night basically blows it. Alvarado gave up a couple singles to start the top of the eighth, but then, and Sir Anthony comes on, he strikes out the first batter, but then he loses it, tosses a wild pitch, two wild pitches actually, in between a base hit, and then he walks a guy, and, you know, he seemed like he fell apart. So it's hard to, you know, then Familia comes in the ninth, he gives up another home run. It's hard to, there really is no, I really don't see the answer to the Phillies bullpen woes. Other than to just, you got to keep running them out there and hope that these guys, I've always said I'm a believer in the back of baseball cards. These guys have a track record in Major League Baseball. They've had success. At this point, you just got to keep running them out there and hope that it turns around. There's really nothing else you can do. The only other thing that you could do at this point, and it's too early to do that. May is still too early to give up. But the only thing you can do at some point is to say, blow the whole thing up, you know, at the trade deadline. If this keeps up and they're like a dozen games below 500 and they never turn it around, maybe you need to blow it up and trade some of these guys if you can get them, and, you know, get some prospects. But that's really a sad situation considering what we came in with. So I'm not there, but it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating. I don't know if you heard Girardi post game last night, but you could see it on his face. You could hear it in his voice. He's frustrated. The team's frustrated. Harper had a meeting, you know, last week, tried to, a team meeting, tried to, you know, keep everybody up, but that it's not working. You know, they just keep losing. It's hard to know what to say, Rich.
Yeah. I was on a podcast yesterday talking about the Phillies to a bunch of folks called Baseball PhD out of Cleveland, and I mentioned the word, the player Brad Hand, and they're well aware of Brad Hand, and they sort of, you know, had some knowledge about him. Didn't go into detail, but, you know, he pitched well for Cleveland for a couple years. But I just brought up his individual Facebook page, or not Facebook, but baseball reference page on baseballreference.com, and he's 33-51 overall. And I don't know if you can hold much credence to that, but he's been a longtime reliever. Is he dependable with a 3.65 overall ERA? I don't know. We've heard the name Brad Hand. We've heard the name
That's not
Corey.
bad, Rich. If you look at ERA, look at the average ERA, in the major leagues these days. It's around four, maybe a tick over four. So that's not a bad ERA. And most of these guys, it's not about their like individual ERA. Knebel's 3.38, Sir Anthony 2.30, Hand 1.74 ERA, Nick Nelson 3.10. This isn't about their like individual earned run average. They have good outings. They'll have two or three good outings, but then they implode at the worst possible time. And it's like they take turns doing it so that it's not one guy that's blowing it for this team. It's the whole team contributing to losses at different times, if you understand what I'm saying. So it's like a team-wide failure, but nobody that you can just point and put your finger on. This one guy is killing them. Maybe Familia, he's had more than his share. Alvarado, they've had more than their share out of the bullpen, and they're key guys. These are veteran righty, a veteran lefty. They were expected to be at least the number two right-hander and number two left-hander out of the Phillies bullpen behind Knebel and Hand. And they failed at their job as a duo. Familia with a 4.30 ERA and 16 appearances. He's given up 15 hits in 14 and third innings with seven walks. He's got a 1.50 whip. Alvarado's even worse. He's got a 1.853 whip. He's given up 14 hits and seven walks in 11 and a third innings. His ERA is 7.94. So, and again, like I said last night, in that key, inning, he gave up hits to the first two batters before Sir Anthony, allowed the runs. So it's very frustrating. And like I said, it's hard to put your finger on what the answer is. I mean, last year, it was a different mix. Last year, it was Archie Bradley and Sam Coonrod and Hector Neris and Ian Kennedy, David Hale. And then you had in 2020 during the pandemic season, you know, and different mix of that during that year. No matter, they had brought in David Robertson, who was, one of the top relievers in baseball for a decade before that. Not a guy that was past his prime. But what happens? He gets hurt like as soon as he gets here. So it's just like there seems to be. Seems like there's no answer. It's like the bullpen jinx here in Philadelphia.
And I'm just turning to Jose Alvarado's page on the press notes, and he should be nowhere near the Dodgers, in my opinion. Listen to this. Versus LA career, 18.00 ERA. Just in 2022, he's got a 54.00 ERA right now. Behind some of the innings that we saw him play, or partial innings, he's just getting blown up by a Dodger team that's going to take advantage of every mistake. And we got to hand ourselves that we're facing perhaps the top team in the National League, being the Dodgers. They were out in LA last week and they did phenomenal. They just pushed the Dodgers back on their heels. Dodgers were going through a little losing streak. Now they're the opposite. They're on a seven-game winning streak going into this afternoon's game at 1:35. And, as you said, Joe Girardi's frustrated. I don't know if I would have brought Alvarado in, though, after him getting out of that inning. He embraced Hoskins, almost tackled him, it seemed like, at first base on that play, if you saw it. He was out of that game at that point. I think that was his embracing. Oh, you got me out of this inning. I should be out of the game. But Joe brought him back in the next inning. And it's little things like that as well that catch up with this team.
Alvarado is one of these guys who you when you watch him long enough, you see over time, you see the reasons why he's still pitching in the major leagues and why teams still turn to him, why the Phillies still turn to him. He can be electric, sometimes. He had a 5-game stretch from late April through early May, where he didn't allow an earned run. He had a 6-1 strikeout to walk ratio over his 3 innings across 5 games. Basically didn't allow anything, and he was dominant for that 5-game stretch. He goes into Seattle, and he got bombed. He got hit a little bit, and then he got bombed in L.A. Last weekend. So Joe didn't use him for 6 days after that. And then what happens, he comes in against the Padres this week during Wheeler's fantastic start and looks electric again. He's back to, pitched an inning, perfect inning with 2 strikeouts, was totally dominant, throwing 100 miles an hour. So, these are the things that get you, and I can understand why they get you excited about Jose Alvarado. And then he goes in and he does what he did last night and poops the bed. And that seems to happen like maybe every, it can happen at any time with Alvarado. This is the problem with this Phillies bullpen and really this whole team. When you go to watch the Dodgers, if you're a Dodgers fan and you go turn on your game and you're going to watch the Dodgers, you're going to be watching a good team. We had it here in Philadelphia for much of the 2000s, certainly towards the second half of that decade and into the first half of the 2010s. You knew if you turned on a Phillies game, you're going to be watching a really good Phillies team, probably with a good pitcher on the mound, and you were going to have a good chance to win that game. That's the way Dodger fans are right now. With the Phillies, we're the opposite right now. We have no clue what we're going to get on any given game. We might get a fantastic game where the offense looks great and scores 10 runs. We might get a fantastic starting pitching performance, and we might get some implosion. We might get a close game where the bullpen blows it. The Phillies are kind of like, it's a crapshoot. Anything could happen. And I think that right now they're playing like a 500 team, but they're 4 games under at this point. So, I've heard people call for Girardi's head. I was reluctant at first. Then that mood kind of won me over because there were some things that really just seemed like you mentioned something with Alvarado coming last night. Just some things that I just didn't like the look of. And one thing I didn't like the look of was there was kind of a look of defeat on Girardi's face in the post-game interview last night. And I didn't like that. It's one thing to be like Kapler and to find positives in everything. He almost seems a little Pollyanna-ish at times. But I'd much rather that, looking for, I think Gabe was always looking for an answer. I don't know if there are answers, but Joe Girardi just seems like he's kind of out of it. He seems like he's out of answers. Yeah. And I don't know if there's anything Girardi actually can do. I don't know if some change in managers would change anything. So I'm at a loss right now, Rich, is kind of where I'm at. And it's just like, you got to hope. I just hope that this team turns it around at some point and goes on a 3 or 4 week, stretch where they're winning a lot of games. But it's kind of like show me at this point, and they're not showing us.
Yeah, and that goes for the offense once in a while. A lot of offers turning up on this homestand. You can't win ball games like that. And these guys are built to be an offensive team. Castellanos, when he doesn't hit, it seems like the Phillies don't do well. Bryce Harper, of course, if he doesn't hit, the Phillies don't do well. And it just falls on down the line. But yeah, as you said, Joe Girardi a little downtrodden. He's got to feel under pressure to a certain amount of, his job may be on the line, and he's a proud guy, so he's probably taking it pretty hard, but wearing his heart on his sleeve, you can almost see it in his face, like you said. It's a tough, tough way. And how bad have we seen the Phillies play at home like this? I don't remember a stretch where they've really not played that well at home.
And you know, statistically, odd. Rich, this team is built. This team was pretty much built to hit. We thought it was going to go the way of the offense and the starting pitching, and that was going to carry them. And those are the kind of things that can win at Citizens Bank Park. And the starting pitching has been pretty good for the most part. They've had a couple of blips and blow-ups, but every rotation, every staff's going to have that. I won't hang this on the Phillies rotation and their offensive attack statistically. And again, statistics are in this case appearing to be misleading, but they're tied for sixth in all of baseball in OPS. They are sixth in slugging in all of baseball. There's something like seventh or eighth. I'm looking it up now. Ninth in runs scored in baseball. In home runs, the Phillies are in seventh in baseball. So this is out of 30 teams. So statistically, they're a top offensive team, but it's not translating into a consistent offensive attack at home. So again, I'm at a loss. I'm somebody who likes to, I can look at statistics and make an evaluation. I can look at a team that's not playing with any fire or heart. I don't think that's the case here. I think you see, look early in the game yesterday. They were riding high. They were up 4-1. Bowman homered, Schwarber homered. You know, they looked like they had life in the dugout. Of course, when you're winning, anybody could have life. But this team just doesn't seem or feel to me like it's dead, like it's laying down. They just don't do it. You know, they just didn't come through. They're up 4. They got 4-1, and they didn't make it 6-1. They didn't tack on those couple extra runs. I don't know if it was Gelb or one of the main writers had put up a statistic of, you know, I think maybe even it was Corey Seidman put up a statistic of, you know, what the Phillies' record is when they score 4 runs or less, or when they score more than 4 runs. And when they score 5 runs or more, this is a playoff team. When they score 4 runs or less, they're a losing team. That seems to be their break, you know, point. And yesterday they got the 4 runs, you know, and they lost again. Now 5 wouldn't have been enough to win, but I think you get my point. This team has to, you know, they jump out on teams, and it's not the first time they've jumped out. They were something like the third worst team in baseball for blowing leads of 4 or more runs. So it's frustrating. I mean, there's nothing else to say. This team, you could bang your head against the wall trying to evaluate this team this year. The offense needs to be more consistent game in and game out, especially at home. The bullpen, especially the veterans on the back end, need to start shutting down games when they're given leads or in tie games. And that's it. That's the answer. I don't know what else to say.
They can't rely on the home run ball every game. They have to play a bit of small ball, and they're not getting it done. Night after night, you read the box score, you know, they have scoring chances, they're 1-7, or they have 7-1 leads, and they're not preserving those even. So, as you said, no lead is safe with the Phillies. Let's look at some of the batting leaders so far. Bryce Harper, .304, that's great for him. Kyle Schwarber just regained the home run lead at 10, and he's been a streaky hitter. But he does produce. He's sort of like that Ryan Howard streakiness. 22 RBIs and 10 home runs. Runs batted in, Bryce Harper with 27. And we can see the team batting, 180 runs, they're ninth. Batting average, .248. On base percentage, .309. And slugging, .413. So they're in the middle of the pack, so to speak. Aaron Nola leading the starters with 3.96 ERA. But we saw him last night, very predictable again. He got 9 strikeouts in the game, which is usually excellent for a pitcher. Then he ends up with a no decision, but he's lucky he didn't end up with a loss.
Well, wins-losses are, you know, they're tough on pitcher. A lot of things can happen there. He should have had a couple of wins where he didn't get run support earlier in the year. So I'm not worried about wins and losses. He hung a couple of pitches, which has been probably for the last 3 years, Aaron Nola's bugaboo. He pitched a really good game yesterday, in my opinion, for 90% of that game. But he made, if you saw the first home run ball to Mookie Betts, he just, I mean, I saw it going in, and I when Mookie Betts started to swing at that pitch, I knew it was going out. He laid it right in there. It was like a little leaguer laying it in there. And Aaron had to know that. I mean, he had to know he wanted that ball down, and he got it up, and it was right in the zone. And Betts did what a superstar does. He knocked it out of the ballpark. And there were a couple of those long balls like that, and they're Aaron's bugaboo. He is electric for 90% of the game, and he's in charge for a lot of the games. And then, you know, if he gives up those gopher balls, that's his Achilles heel. You were talking about the hitters, you know, guys like Schwarber, Hoskins, they are run producers, but they're really disappointing overall. I mean, Schwarber, he can lead the team in home runs and be in second in RBIs like he is, but he's only hitting 200 with a 298 on base percentage, and that's just not going to cut it. With 10 homers and 22 RBIs, and you only have a 755 OPS right now, that's actually weak. So what it's saying is that Schwarber has power. You know, he can get a hold of one, and that's where his homers and RBIs are coming from. But otherwise, he's feast or famine, and it's mostly feast. Apologize to you. It's mostly famine. He'll have a feast once in a while, and usually it's a moonshot. So, you know, that it's easy to get enamored with those things, and I do like them. I mean, it's probably going to add up to a 30-homer season, but that's not going to help the team a lot if he continues to hit 200 with a 298 on-base percentage and 755 OPS. And Reese is the same thing. He's only hitting 234. He's got to be hitting closer to, you know, 250, 255. And that 20 points would make a big difference in Hoskins. If he had those 20 extra points in his batting average, he's got the same, basically the exact same OPS as Schwarber. And if he were more of like an 800 OPS, 250, 260 hitter, then he'd be, you know, probably leading the team in RBIs or close to Harper. So they need to get more out of Schwarber and Hoskins, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that'll score more runs. We see the Mets do it. The Mets can get guys on base, move them, and score them. That's what the Phillies have to start to do. They do get men on base, but they can't move them, and they don't score them. They strand them 90% of the time. So here's a look at the Phillies' upcoming schedule. After today, they go on the road, 4 games in Atlanta, and Atlanta just took over second place in the National League East. I think this week, I don't want to say make or break the Phillies, but the Phillies could dig themselves a big hole if they don't right the ship in this next 7 games. Then they go to New York next weekend for Memorial Day weekend, till Sunday actually, and then come home for Monday, which is Memorial Day, and against the Giants. So they have 7 games upcoming here, not necessarily make or break them, but it could dig themselves a big hole if they don't do well.
Yeah, 4 in Atlanta, like you said, 3 in New York, 7 games. It's a massive week for them. These are 7 games in the division with an Atlanta team that looks like they might be starting to right their ship a little bit. And they've been disappointing as well, but they'll be at home. It'll be 4 games at home for them. They'll be looking to jumpstart their season here against the Phillies. And then you go into the Mets, you know, play the Mets, who've had their way with the Phillies for the most part this year, and they're riding high leading the division. So this is coming up as a massive week. So it certainly would be nice to at least take this final game of this homestand against the Dodgers today and maybe send them on the road with a little, you know, spring in their step, so to speak. But no matter what happens today, this is a huge early road trip, Rich. You're absolutely right.
Yep. So we're just a few minutes away from game time here as we're doing this show on Sunday. So we'll get going so we can watch the game. But it's Armed Forces weekend on the field this weekend, and yesterday was Armed Forces Day, April or May 21st, rather. And here's the on-field cap for the Phillies. How did you like that cap that they're wearing this weekend?
God bless our armed forces, you know, and thanks to everybody who's served in the armed forces. This is I'm not big for these, you know, offshoot, you know, caps. And so to me, it's a merchandising marketing opportunity, trying to sell something. I like them, you know, and I understand what it's for, you know, but, you know, to me, it's a little, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm just a little jaded, you know. I think they're just looking to sell merchandise.
Yeah.
For what it is, you know, it's a sharp cap. So God bless our military.
Yeah, it's a sharp cap, teetering on the edge of ordering one for myself, but it's a little pricey as well, almost with shipping. $53 with shipping. So I had one in the cart, and I was trying to put my finger on the mouse to order it, but I'm a fan of trying to find these a couple months from now in the LIDS local stores.
Even without the shipping, Rich, I mean, what is it, like $30 or something like that for a hat?
$45.99.
$46 straight up for a hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever gone into, the Phillies clubhouse stores and stuff when you're at a game? The prices are just outrageous.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how people, you know, go out and buy things, you know, at those stores. It's really a shame is what it is. And
The merchandise,
it's a whole other show just talking about the prices of merchandise and things at the ballpark.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for the quality improvements over the years, because I remember back in the day as a teenager or younger buying caps, you know, they lasted about 3 weeks, it seemed like, the way they made them years ago. These caps at least last for a while, so you could have them for a couple of years if you keep care of them. But next week's Memorial Day weekend, I've heard that they're going to have different caps, but not for sale. So interesting to see what they'll look like next weekend.
I got plenty of caps.
Yeah.
Last thing I need is another Phillies cap. I got plenty of them.
We're capped up. So getting closer to Memorial Day weekend, a big milestone in the baseball season. As we said, the Phillies just have to keep winning.
Keep winning. Start winning.
Again.
Start winning. Consistently. Not even again. They haven't won consistently yet this year, Rich. So they have to start. I mean, they need, as I said earlier, they need like a good 3 week stretch where they win a bunch of games, where they can push themselves from four games under 500 to four or five games over 500 and then start from there. But they need like a good 3 week mostly winning stretch, just as a kickoff, you know, to hopefully make in the playoffs.
Yeah, keep winning series, winning.
They can't wait until August to do it. You know?
Right. Yeah, they're going to have to do it now. We're almost in June for the most part, another 10 days or so.
Now, I'll give one piece. I know we're winding down, but I'll give one piece of good news. I don't know if you noticed last couple of days, but Mickey Moniak is back. He's finally back playing in some, facing some hitters. And he's now going to be going to Reading to play with the AA Reading Phillies next week on his way back. So he's probably maybe a couple of weeks away from being a Phillies possibility. But if you look at the circus show that's been Odubel out there in center field, and then, Roman Quinn, as we all know, he's great to have on the bench, but you don't want to rely on him too much too often because he's going to break down. So Moniak, after as exciting a spring training as he had, the number one overall pick from about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I don't want to hang the Philly season hopes on him. That's absolutely not what we're talking about. But it would be nice if he can get back here and can carry over that great play that we saw him doing, can bring into the team consistently in March, finally to the big leagues. So it looks like we're going to get a chance to see the Mick in June here in Philly.
That sounds great, and I hope he continues his winning ways, and it'd be a great opportunity for him, because I remember going into spring training, it was like, what are we going to do with Moniak? But he did surprise some people in spring training, so Let's look forward to that, as you said. And Matt, why don't we figure out where we can find you on the web for our listeners for the most part?
Well, the best place is always on Twitter, at Phillies Bell. It's the same thing on Instagram, but on Instagram, it's mostly going to be history items. So if you're on Instagram and you like a little Phillies history every day, then follow at Phillies Bell. But if you want more interaction, more news, more in-game commentary, that kind of thing, in addition to the history, then follow me at Phillies Bell on Twitter.
That's awesome. So make sure you follow Matt there. And of course, you can find me at Fightin' Phillies on Twitter, at fightinphillies.com for some blog posts occasionally. And hope the Phillies win this coming road trip. And as you said, Matt, started off today with a win Sunday. Zach Eflin starting a tough Dodgers crew. Let's see if we can do it.
Scoreless so far in the top of the first. Of course, they just started, but you know, we need a big star from Zach Eflin here.
Let's go, Phils.
Go, all Phils. Right,
we'll disconnect from the YouTube live stream. And thanks for listening to this edition of Phillies Talk. And Matt, thanks for joining me as well. I really value your co-hosting abilities here on the program.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate that. Thanks for the opportunity.
Have a great afternoon.
You too.